Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
You'll want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel. We'll get there in just a moment, chapter 10. Starting a brand new series. And we do have notes that will eventually be passed out as soon as our ushers are ready to do that. They can. I kept hearing a phrase actually for a number of months. And ushers, we can go ahead and pass those out if you're ready. Gentlemen, thank you. Out with the old, in with the new. And a friend of ours, Austin Jones, started the brand new, Davis. We know Austin Jones too, but different guy, same first name. Austin Davis started a clothing company, and it's called Out With The Old. And it just took off. It was just amazing. So I thought maybe I'd start a clothing line called In With The New, and see if I can ride his coattails and to In With The New. Because out with the old is one thing, but you sure better come in with the new also. It's an expression, it's an idiom, it's an expression used to convey the idea of replacing old things with new and better things. It's an expression that's used around this time of the year, at the new year, out with the old, in with the new. It's a New Year's expression. And it conveys a sense of renewal and progress, a departure from the past. It is actually a scriptural meaning behind it. How many of you, raise your hand if you ever heard out with the old, in with the new? So I'm starting this series. I'm not sure how long it'll go. Just 4 or 5 messages on out with the old, in with the new. And the idea of seeing your potential released in 2024. God has amazing plans for you. Not everyone here will see them fulfilled. I had the mistaken idea that when I first got saved that Jesus is going to do everything. He doesn't do everything. He does his part. And then, I mean, it's like expecting a child to feed and clothe himself all his life. Now, you have a baby, obviously. You're supposed to take care of that child, but the child should grow, develop, one day move out of the house. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yet many times through Christendom, there are people who don't understand that moving into the blessing of God is contingent upon them possessing the promises. God gives promises, but you have to possess them. He promises the promised land, but you have to move out the wild beast. You have to take over. You have to take the promised land. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to take the land. Out with the old, in with the new. Isaiah 43, before we get to the main text of Daniel 10. Verse 18 in the New Living Translation reads this way. But forget all that. Everybody said, forget all that. There's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. Could I have some more monitor or something shifted on me, please? Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm about to do, for I'm about to do something new. Everybody says he's about to do something new. About to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers in the wasted land. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, the book of Philippians, verse 3 and 13. Dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Everybody say, forget the past. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Luke chapter 5, and I'd like you to go there if you would. Luke 5, you hold your finger in Daniel 10. So there's an understanding that if you're going to move into this new thing of potential and promise and fulfill the plan that God has for you individually in 2024, you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. You have to get rid of your stinking thinking. You have to get rid of some friends. Maybe you have to change some things in your life. If isn't Jesus going to do that? No, he gives you his word and then he empowers you to do it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, Romans 12, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the transforming of your mind, out with the old way of thinking, in with the new way of thinking, thinking that is rooted and grounded in the truth of the bedrock of God's word. You ground your thinking in God's word, you will be a victor, you will be more than a conqueror, you'll be a minister of reconciliation. It is an unbiblical thing, listen to me, it's an unbiblical thing to lose battles. I should maybe say lose the war. You temporarily might have setbacks, but you ultimately win in the end. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Our annual 21-day fast is upon us. Luke 5, verse 36. No one tears a new piece of cloth. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. But then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. Verse 37, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. But the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins. So what are you saying? I'm telling you, God wants to do a new thing, but in order for the new thing to come into your life, you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. Some of you have closets full of clothes. For every size that you are as you go through the years. How do you know that? I have some intimate knowledge about that. I lost 70 pounds, and I remember hearing the voice of Pastor Monica, burn the canoe. Lost 70 pounds, so I burned the canoe. I got rid of all my suits and all my stuff that fit me at that weight. And then what happened is I started getting bigger and bigger, and soon I was like a sausage casing in my clothes. And at that point, I had to make a decision. Am I going to go buy new clothes and make a decision to get big? Or am I going to get a hold of my appetite, get a hold of myself, and stay healthy and go back the other way? And, we go up and down within that bracket. Come on, somebody say out with the old, in with the new. All right, Daniel chapter 10, are you all there? Annual 21-day fast begins tomorrow, but let me just make it easy for you. Don't be under some legalism. Legalism does all the things that genuine, heartfelt Christians out of a relationship with God do, but they do it all for the wrong reasons. Legalists do the same things that genuine, heartfelt Jesus lovers and Christ followers do, but they do it to get favor. They do it to get acknowledgement. They do it for all the wrong reasons. So there's people that fast because they feel like they have to try to earn favor. You don't fast to earn favor from God. So the fast starts January 1st. We're like, we're eating bonbons and pigs in a blanket on January 1st because that's what we've done since my grandmother passed down the bonbons and the pigs in the blanket. And then we continue to do that to this day. Great. Enjoy the pigs in the blanket. Start on the 2nd. Start on the 3rd. Start whenever you want. But it's time to fast and pray in the month of January, so I'd encourage you to do that. We are very thankful that we'll be opening up more times of prayer. We have on schedule, by the grace of God, I think we have 12 hours covered of led prayer. 12 hours live here at the church. We'll let you know about that. It'll be led by staff with worship and all that. 12 hours of prayer. That's a dream. That's half of a day of prayer. And so we'll launch that. We'll let you know. We're not ready to do it today, but we're close. And so our annual time of prayer and fasting is upon us. Are you all there in Daniel chapter 10? Let's stand up on our feet. Verse 1. Here we go. 14 verses. You ready? Set? New Living Translation. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, had another vision. He understood from that vision concerned events contained to happen in the future, certain to happen in the future, part B, times of war and great hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time, I'd eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. I'd used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. Verse 6. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning. His eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet like polished bronze. And his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale. I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak. And when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I want you to read verse 12 with me because I want to make sure you get it in your spirit. Verse 12. Then he said to me, right out loud, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this concerns a time yet to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Move in great power, as you did in the first service, even more so now in the second. All those online, all those here, move in power, oh God, those that will listen at a later date. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and say amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. So our 21 days of prayer and fasting, since I've been saved, we've been praying and fasting in January, and it's a beautiful custom and tradition and a biblical one, and truly based on this scripture and many others. I'd like to give you an overview of fasting from the Old Testament. The overview, very simply, is this. Fasting is a sign of mourning, a sign of repentance, an aspect of prayer. Fasting is restricting yourself from food or drink for a period of time so that you can give yourself to prayer. Fasting and prayer always go together. If you fast and you don't pray, you're just on a diet. Fasting and prayer. The Day of Atonement was called the fast. The Old Testament. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul called the Day of Atonement the fast. They would fast on the Day of Atonement. There's many different kinds of fasts. There's 3-day fast, 7-day fast. There's absolute fast. There's a water fast. There's a Daniel fast, like was explained by Daniel here, 21 days. There's a John the Baptist fast. That's locust and honey. I haven't tried that, just the honey part. I haven't tried the locust. It's a joke. It's restricting yourself from food or drink for a period of time so you can give yourself to prayer. Fasting folds down your humanity. And it invigorates your spirit. It makes your heart, let me say it this way. Fasting brings your heart before the burning bush of God's presence. When you fast. Years ago, a gentleman was installing my garage doors in my new house some 12, 13 years ago. He was a local believer. He was a part of another church. And he knew that I was a pastor. So he said, you know, I got a question for you. I said, sure. And he starts telling me the problem that he's had was a marital problem. He said, I've been to all kinds of counselors. I've done this. I've done that. I said, and what is the counsel that you've gotten? And he told me the counsel you've gotten. I said, that's the same counsel I would give you. That's good biblical counsel you've gotten. He says, well, nothing's worked. I said, okay. I said, have you fasted? He said, what's that? To my shock and amaze, he asked me, what's that? This is someone who's walked with the Lord for some 30 plus years, lived in the area for 20 plus, at a local church for 20 plus years, and he didn't know what fasting was. And I thought, oh God, how is it that somebody has served the Lord for that period of time and doesn't know what fasting is? And then I was convicted to say, I hope I've done a good job teaching you about fasting. In fact, as I look back on the series and everything that I've preached over the past year, 2023, I don't think I've preached a whole message on fasting. It's been sowed in, except a year ago, a series of messages. Now, I don't think that's enough, perhaps. Because what you might not understand that I'm going to make clear to you, if you're going to get the old out and you get the new in, if you're going to possess the promises, if you're going to take the land, if you're going to see God's power manifested in your life, you've got to learn how to fast and pray. This whole building is here as a result of prayer and fasting. They would pray and fast for God's intervention. Throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament, it was a form of worship. Acts 13, one day as men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, with fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint for me Barnabas and Saul the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, everybody say after more. After more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them away. And you know what's happened? Barnabas and Saul are the first missionaries launched because of prayer and fasting. It could be that that would have been delayed or wouldn't have happened without prayer and fasting. I can clearly say that the Bracken family is alive today, still married, still walking in divine health, still here, serving God, and will ever be so because we pray and fast. And there are certain things that just will not move until you pray and fast. We're doing 21 days. Some might do 40. I've done two 40-day fasts in my life as a Christian. The first one, I think I blended up numerous things and called it liquid. But it was 40 days nonetheless. And on day 37, I almost ate cat food. It was horrible. I told Pastor Karen after day 37, I'm not feeding the cat anymore. And she took over for the rest of the time. And then a second 40-day fast when we first came to Alaska, which absolutely, positively saved this church. And the only reason we had motivation to do it wasn't any great spirituality of my own. The Lord scared me to death. It was a great motivator. When you're terrified of losing everything, it'll motivate you to do crazy things. So I wasn't like, oh, I just want to draw close to God. No, that wasn't it. The Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to do a 40-day fast, a 40-day water fast. I'm like, really? I don't know about that. I know you were more spiritual than me, but I'm just saying. I'm like, Lord, really? Maybe he's symbolically wanting me to do something for 40 days. So I did a 3-day fast to see if that was really the Lord. And on my 3-day fast, God clearly spoke to me on day 3 and said, if you don't do the 40-day fast, you're going to suffer great loss. Okay, great loss to me was my wife and children. And I knew that God had spoken to me and he enabled me to do a 40-day water fast, by which the great loss was not my wife and children necessarily. I don't know for certain. It was definitely the church. And we went through quite a transition. Most of you were not here back then. Pastor Tim, you were here. Some of you were here. Most of you were not. We went through quite a transition where the enemy tried to wipe us out. But he lost and he will ever lose. But you don't understand that prayer and fasting is key to overcoming obstacles. How many of you got some challenges you're facing? How many of you got some mountains that need to be moved? I'd encourage you to learn to pray and fast and watch those things go. Have you done everything? Have you done everything? I told that man, have you done it? Have you fasted? No, I don't even know what that is. I taught him. I said, try it. I don't actually think I've seen him since then. You know, America is, the history of prayer in America is fascinating. I did not share this. It's in your notes somewhere, but I have a typo on mine. I want to just share a couple notable moments in American history that you might not be aware of. Notable day of prayer in 1746 when the French Admiral Annaval sailed for New England, commanding the most powerful fleet of the time, 70 ships, 13,000 troops, and he intended basically on wiping out from Boston to New York and destroying the whole eastern seaboard of America. When news of that came to leaders in Boston's Old South Meeting House, Reverend Thomas, this is history, Prince prayed on October 16th, 1746. He prayed, quote, "Send thy tempest, O Lord, upon the water. Scatter the ships of our tormentors." Historian Catherine Dowen related that as he finished praying, the sky darkened, the winds shrieked, the church bells rang a wild, uneven sound, and there was no man ringing it in the steeple. A hurricane subsequently sank the entire fleet. 4,000 were sick, 2,000 were dead, including the admiral, and the attack upon America was thwarted. Now, I could go on to give you event after event. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, June 1st, 1774, went to church, fasted all day. I mean, it goes on and on and on. 4 days before the Battle of Lexington, Kentucky, the Massachusetts Provincial Congress, led by John Hancock, declared, "In circumstances dark as these, it becomes us as men and Christians to reflect that whilst every prudent measure should be taken to ward off impending judgments, the 11th of May, next set part of the day of public humiliation, prayer and fasting, to employ forgiveness for our transgressions," and on and on and on and on. America has been founded on prayer and fasting. I don't know what makes us think that we can actually fulfill the plan of God without prayer and fasting, and it's not taught. It's not taught in churches. Sure is quiet. Feels kind of Baptist-y in here right now. Come on. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, "God, open my eyes to the reality of prayer and fasting." Oh, we love the Baptist. I'm just playing with you. Let's look at this text. Daniel prays and fasts 21 days. He breaks through the spiritual realm. The New Living Translation says this came up against the spirit prince. It says it that way because in other versions it says the prince of Persia. I like how it says spirit prince because it's not a regular prince. It's not some prince in Persia. It is a spiritual entity that hinders the message being delivered to Daniel. I had you repeat verse 12. His prayer was heard from day one, but he doesn't get the answer to prayer until day 21. And the period between day one and day 21, he's praying and fasting that whole time. But in the heavenlies, there's a battle, there's a war. Spiritual warfare is not passe. It was big in the 80s, not taught mostly now. We sow it in on a regular basis because you need to understand that there is a very real devil and God is clearly on the throne. But certain things have to be enforced. You can't teach demons. They need to be forcefully evicted. And there are powers and principalities, and the book of Ephesians talks about that. There are rulers of darkness. You say, you're freaking me out right now. I think it'd be best for you to know. If the veneer, if the veil was pulled back right now and you saw the warfare against you, your marriage, your kids, the church, the warfare that's taking place against Israel, it's the same principality operating and trying to defeat Israel and others as well. There's war. Come on, somebody say we're in a war. And we know it's not just a regular prince, because one angel in Hezekiah's day wiped out 180,000 troops. One angel killed 180,000 men. One supernatural being from heaven brought judgment on 180,000 troops. Just one, not a band of angels, not three or four, just one. So we know that this hindrance that came against the messenger Gabriel is a demonic entity of supernatural power hindering the plans of God. There's a hierarchy of the demonic. And you say, well, I don't believe in that. That's the Old Testament. Okay. Well, why don't you turn to 1 Thessalonians and let me just shift your thinking. Out with the old, in with the new. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as soon as you're there, say amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writing the church of Thessalonica. We had the great honor, although we did not know it when it was taking place, to live there for 3 months. I wish I had known one day we'll go back. Woo! Says the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, listen to this. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Huh. Well, that's interesting. So Paul, the man of God who wrote most of the epistles, wants to go to visit, but he tried and he couldn't get there. Why? Because he was stopped by Satan. Follow the logic? If Satan could hinder the apostle Paul, would it be fair to say that it's possible that he could hinder you? Would that some sound spiritual logic? I mean, Paul's fairly anointed man of God. Would it be fair to say that Satan would try to hinder the purposes of the church? And I will tell you that he hindered and delayed the opening of this building. Tried everything he could. And I do believe we came up against a principality of the Northland. I'm not going to name it. I don't know. I saw it. We were almost destroyed building this building. Some of you think, oh, well, you just started the building. Just took you a long time to put it together. Yeah, no. We've had a fight. And I'm so proud of you all. The grit. Stick-to-itiveness and resolve. I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I wouldn't trade it because it put something in us that would not be in us otherwise. We had to fight for this thing, and we're still fighting. We had a number of really some moments. You'll read the book. God help me to finish it. You'll read the book. There was moments in this project that could have destroyed our whole church. I mean, our whole church. Because you end up in a building of this magnitude and the expense that doubled. It's twice what we wanted to pay. It's twice what was planned. But when you're in it, you can't stop. What do? Let steel sit on a hill and make it. You imagine building a house and making a payment. You don't get to use it. There was no stopping. Price of lumber, price of everything, just doubling, tripling. Do you remember when lumber went up by 400%? How do you remember that? All of that, all in the midst of our building. We just kept, then COVID, yeah, great. All these different things, all these hindrances, praying, believing. Satan wants to hinder you. Satan wants to stop you. Satan wants to stop the church and hinder what God wants to do in America, what God wants to do in your family. But he can't if you'll understand how to win. I What Daniel did in the physical realm affected the spiritual realm. He fasted and he praised and he changed the course of history. A beautiful quote by our friend Lou Engle is, "History belongs to the intercessors." If you'll pray, God will move. And when you get a promise, you stand on that promise, you pray, you fast until it manifests, until it comes to pass. So I've been praying for 20 years. Me too. Certain things. I don't know. I'm trusting God. Day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. So what's the Lord doing? I think he might say, "I'll be there in just a minute." You can do the math on that. Just trust his leadership. And as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can to move forward. Out with the old. In with the new. The delay that you're currently experiencing is not a denial. The delay you're currently experiencing might be demonic. There are demonic delays. There are divine delays. We experience both. Discerning which one is which is quite the task. Fasting and prayer will bring you across the finish line for the glory of God. You're in a spiritual battle. Don't ever forget it. Through fasting and prayer, we can receive power for our personal lives. And there's true fasting and false fasting. And I want you to look at this. I think I bring this up every time I preach on fasting, especially at this time of the year. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. This is an example of true fasting and false fasting. Verse 3. Hear what the people say to God. Verse 3. They say to the Lord, "We've fasted before you, Lord," they say. "Why aren't you impressed?" they say to God. "We've been very hard on ourselves, Lord. And you don't even notice it." And I'll tell you why, the Lord responds. I'll tell you why I haven't noticed. I'll tell you why I haven't done anything. It says, because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even when you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. I like that. See, if you're going to still act like a jerk, you should just eat. Fasting has very little to do with food and very much to do with your attitude. You're just on a diet. Okay. This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. Verse 5. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds, bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call a fast? Do you really think this will please the Lord? You really think this will please me, the Lord says? And look at verse 6. No, this is the kind of fasting that I want. Come on, say, this is the kind that he wants. This is the kind of fasting that I want. Free those who are wrongly oppressed, to lighten the burden of those who work for you, to let press go free, to remove the chains that bind people, to share your food with the hungry, to give shelter to the homeless, to give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Some of you hide from your relatives a lot. Verse 8. Then, everybody say then. I made mention in the first service, I don't think I said it in this service, but there's covenant language. And anytime you see if then clauses, it's conditions. If you do this, then I do this. So he's saying, if you fast like this, then I'll do this. Then your salvation, verse 8, are you all there in verse 8? Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godlessness would lead you forward. I got that right? Yeah, that's what I meant. Your godliness, just making sure you're paying attention. Your godliness. I'm like, that doesn't sound good. That's not even biblical. What's going on? Your godliness. Everybody say, my godliness will lead you forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, everybody say then. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I'm here. It will quickly reply. My gosh. And it goes on and on and on. So powerful. The Lord will guide you. Verse 11, continue. Giving you water when you're dry. Restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden. I skipped some verses. But I mean, it's just so powerful. There's true fasting and false fasting. And he's saying, if you can skip food and still act like, still oppressed, you still get a negativity, you're still filled with strife, and you think I'm a moving power, I'm not going to, you might as well eat. But if you fast like this, and you'll notice no food's mentioned. It's all an attitude of the heart. True fasting breaks bondages. I remember years ago, and I have so many testimonies of fasting. There was a young man in their church. I was driving home from a 12-hour day of visitation. I had gotten a gallon of milk for Pastor Karen. I've got a 30-minute drive home. I'm on my way home. And the Lord speaks to me really clearly, call so-and-so on your phone. So I call him. And I start talking to him. Hey, how's it going? Oh, good. And while I'm talking to him, the Lord says, turn around and go to his house. I'm thinking, no. Long day. Can you go? I didn't really say that, but I felt I kept driving. I didn't obey right away until it's like he's still talking. The Lord's like, turn around and go there. Turn around. I don't even know where the guy lives, so I'm going to kind of coax it out of him. And I didn't have a list of where he was. So I'm like driving back into town. I knew he lived in town. I said, hey, where do you live? So he tells me, oh, you know, over by so-and-so. So I head over there. I'm headed that direction. We're still talking. I'm getting closer to there. Hey, you know, whereabouts over there? Oh, on such and such a street. Well, I was right there. Boom, turned on the street. Pompa Avenue. Turned on the street. Driving down. I said, whereabouts on that street? He's like, well, how come? I live at the end. I'm like, oh, yeah. Whereabouts at the end? I'm the last house on the left. How come? I'm pulling up to his house. I said, I'm at your house. I'm knocking on his door. He is standing there with a 45 in his hand. And he wasn't holding the 45 because he was concerned about who was knocking. He was going to take his life. He falls into my arms, weeping and crying. He says, I was going to shoot myself. Why'd you come here? I said, God told me to come here. We both are weeping and crying. I'm like, give me the gun. Put the gun up on top of the fridge. He wept and cried, and he told me his story of such incredible sexual bondage through pornography and how he had destroyed his marriage and destroyed his mind, and all he could do is sink perverse stuff, and he just wanted to die. He was tired of being a Christian and filled with all this perversion. And I spent time with him and I prayed with him and we took authority over it. It was just the start of the 21-day fast. And I gave him a word. I said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to fast and pray. I'm going to fast and pray with you. And on the last day of the fast, we have a miracle service. We'll do the same thing here. I said, and at that miracle service, you'll be totally set free and you'll never touch that again and you'll be totally delivered. He said, is that what's going to happen? I said, that's what's going to happen. He prayed and fasted. He lost so much weight, my God. I mean, he just started drawing close to God, coming to morning prayer. I mean, he went for it. I will never forget that last miracle service. He came up, man. He had faith all over him. We were praying for people, and he comes down the center aisle, and he's lifting his hands. He's like, I'm ready. I grabbed Dr. Morocco. I said, Pastor, pray. He laid hands on him. The power of God hit him and set him free. He's one of our main leaders in Kings. And I will not tell you who it is, obviously. I'm telling you, God can set you free. There's nothing that is too hard for God. You ought to say a big amen. There's true fasting and false fasting, and it can change you. It can break off yokes. It can break chains off of your life. Some of you are bound by things you don't even know you're bound by. What do you mean? I'm telling you, that the definition of deception, deceived means you don't know. So some of you are deceived. You have issues. You don't even know you have them. And then it's a funny thing about prayer and fasting. You pray, you fast, and the Lord's like, you have that issue. And you're like, ooh. You get the word on it. You get prayer and you get healed. Or you can stay bound and go to hell if you want to. It's up to you. You missed a great place to say amen. Let's all lift our hands to heaven and say hallelujah. Jeez, that's a little intense, Pastor. Yeah, well, it's true. He said, I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Hope you're right. You can break off poverty by a poverty spirit by meeting needs. It's really the paradox of Christianity. Oh, I've got to hurry. There's a paradox in Christianity, lots of scriptures. Humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Book of James says it. Surrender your life for him, you gain your life. It's a paradox. Give, and it'll be given to you. Christianity is a paradox. A paradox, I'll give you the definition here, is a seemingly absurd and self-contradictory statement or proposition, but when investigated and explained, proves to be well-founded and true. Christianity makes no sense to the natural mind. Zero. But if you learn to live it, you see the fruit of resurrection power in life. All right, how to unleash God's power in your life over these next 21 days. Worship team, please. Well, take time to pray. Take time to pray over these next 21 days. Now, if you've never fasted before, you might want to ease into it. And if you're, you might need to talk to a doctor. If you're on medication, that kind of thing, please don't get to heaven early. All right, so you want to make sure you're able to do that. There's lots of different ways to fast. If you've never fasted before, try quitting TV, social media. Skip a few meals. Ease into it. Others of you are longtime fasters, but you're going to give yourself to maybe water. There's all different kinds of... The Daniel fast is vegetables and no meat, no sweets. It's for the purpose of seeking God. And the time that you would normally be shopping or eating, give yourself to prayer. And I'm super encouraged. Again, it looks like we'll have 12 hours of live-led prayer here at the church starting in the next week or so. We'll let you know about that. We're putting it together. Take time to pray. Take time to fast. And number two, take time to pray. Set aside time. Set aside time. So distracted so oftentimes. I shared this with my staff. I don't think I shared it here, but I was working out listening to this song that our worship team's going to learn. I think it's I Have a High Priest That Prays For Me, something like that. Fortify My Faith is what it's called. Go listen to it. Fortify My Faith by Mercy Culture. Fortify My Faith, Mercy Culture. Boom, powerful song. So I'm working out. I'm 3/4 of the way through. I'm like at the cross, I'm sweating. I've got just a few more sets left, and I'm singing this thing. Oh, fortify my faith. Oh, God, help me, help me. And so the next section is Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And I'm singing, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked you to sift you as wheat. And then it shifts in my mouth and says, Daniel, Daniel, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't know if it was like a word from the Lord or just out of my own spirit or what. I just took it as a word from the Lord. So I said, oh, no, no, no. What? See, Simon was asked to be sifted because there were things about Simon that made him a candidate. So I stopped. I said, Lord, you want me to change anything right now? And he said, yeah, I do. I immediately made the changes. Boom, boom. I'm not talking about willful sin. I'm talking about like doing something that I knew I was doing wrong. It just suddenly became something he didn't want anymore. Deal with it. I did on the spot. Boom, dealt with it. Workout's over. Physical exercise is of some value. Godliness is the value of all things. I changed that. I'm like, anything else? Because we're not going for the sifting. No thanks. Thank you that you're praying for me. No sifting, please. Can I get an amen? You set aside time to fast. You set aside time to pray. And God will speak to you. So you can get the old out. Get the new in. Out with the old. In with the new. Take time to be in agreement. What are you believing for with your wife, your spouse? Maybe you're single. Get an agreement. Get an agreement. Make a list. I want our house paid off. I want to be out of debt. I want that credit card debt gone. I want my kids to come home. I want healing for Susanna and Bobby. I'm going to pray and believe that this breakthrough is going to happen. I'm praying and believing that 22,200,000 and some odd thousand is going to be manifested and this building will be paid off so we can do other things. Eagle River needs a building. We need leaders. I'm praying and fasting for leaders. Oh God, give us leaders. We have buildings. We have congregations yet to be planted. Where are the leaders coming from? I'm praying. Pray ye, Lord of the harvest. Prayer, listen to this. Prayer and the harvest. Prayer and the promise. Prayer and church planting and the kingdom. Prayer is irrevocably linked to the fulfillment of the promise. You can't remove that from the equation. So give yourself to prayer. Get an agreement. D, give. Give. What do you mean? Just do random acts of generosity. Yeah, tithe, of course. Yes, give. You can drop the $22 million in the offering if you want to. Go for it. But be a giver. Be generous. Some of you are stingy. You don't tip well when you're out there. Be a big tipper. I've known people that witnessed. I mean, you shouldn't even witness. You're such a mean person at the table. I got, I've sent it back like 5 times. You know, some food should be sent back. Can I get an amen? Are you going to pay for a steak and they ruin it? I mean, you're going to have to exchange that. But sometimes people are so demanding. And then they tell them about Jesus and then they gurk them, gurk, which is like they give them 5% or nothing or 10%. You're going to witness you should give nothing less than 20%. It's my personal opinion. You're going to tell them about Jesus, but for God's sake, you better give them 20%. Do you know that around the community, they hate the lunch hour on Sunday because Christians come and don't tip well? Now, that's not the case here. I've heard that before. I'm just talking about being a giver. Help people. Some of you can take all those clothes that you reserve for every size body you are during the year and just, listen, if you have clothes you haven't worn in a year, just collect all that stuff and bring it down to bring it to the Thrifter's Rock or something and just bless somebody. Just help people. There's people that don't have clothes. You've got like 75 dresses, 175 pairs of shoes. I'm gonna be encouraged right now. I'm going over here. Amen, Pastor Daniel. Be a giver. Come on, somebody say be a giver. Be generous, throw off ballast. You wanna go up higher? You gotta throw off some sandbags. Get rid of some of your stuff. Give it away, bless people. Some of you have a car that's been sitting there. There's people that need cars. Some of you have things that can help other people. Be generous. Watch what God will do. Come on, that's part of true fasting. Did you get something from Jesus?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.